If we knew more about our sleep, what would we do differently? Would we go to bed at a consistent time or take steps to reduce interruptions to our sleep? With Sleep Score, Apple Watch measures your bedtime consistency, interruptions, and sleep duration. Then, every morning it combines these factors into an easy-to-understand score from 1 to 100. So you'll know how to take the quality of your sleep from okay to very high. Know your sleep score with Apple Watch. iPhone 11 or later required.
Well, hey, everybody. We are getting so close to NFL draft time, right in the middle of March Madness coming to a conclusion. And then, of course, the baseball season and the NBA and the NHL season's coming to a close.
I'm wearing green, Rich. It's Masters Week.
We also have Masters Week. It is time, though, for another edition of Overreaction Monday because we always have football in the brain. Chris Brockman and Rich Eisen here with you. Good to see you, Christopher. What's going on?
What's going on? Nothing. What's going on with you, man?
I'm excited. Life's good. My team's playing for the national championship on Monday night, and
kicking butt, taking names.
It's all good in the neighborhood. We'll see if we can get cut down nets, and then obviously get ready for the Raiders being first overall on the clock. It's time for another edition of Overreaction Monday. Hit it. Go for it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction Mondays.
Monday. All right, Christopher, what do you got over there for me?
I want to start with this, and I think this is hot, and I'm curious your thoughts, okay?
Well, that's what this show's about.
We're talking about...
Is that something's hot?
Yeah.
And my thoughts are something to pique your curiosity.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
Last week, Kirk Cousins signs with the Raiders.
Yes.
And we're talking about what that means for Fernando Mendoza and kind of the ripple effect that. Now, before that, the Browns had this rule proposal about draft picks and how many you could trade years out, right?
Yes.
And your take was save teams from themselves.
That was part of it, yes.
Yeah, so I want you to think about that theme as I read you this topic.
Okay.
The NFL should pass a rule that rookie quarterbacks cannot play their first year in the league.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Save teams from themselves. Think about the development of the kids. We have a quarterback development problem in this league. Guys start too soon when they're not ready.
My goodness.
Let's just lay it out there. You got to sit your first year.
Should we also, I mean, you want to go back to the Stone Age here?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
I want
to. It used to be in college that freshmen couldn't start.
Sure, but in the NFL, I want you to think about three of the all-time greatest to ever play the position. What do they have in common? Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers did not play their first year.
Understood. There are different ways to get there. I understand what you're saying, but to institute a rule,
why not?
Is absurd. That's why. Number one, it's absurd. You're not going to do that. Certainly, when you also have a system, I guess under your proposal. You would also have to change the system in which quarterbacks by end of year three, a team needs to make a decision on them of whether to pick up a fifth-year option. You're basically saying you don't have 3 years to figure out whether somebody is worthy of being paid a fifth-year option type of salary. You have only 2 years to figure that out. So I don't think teams would be going for that. I also don't think the NFL Players Association would like to.
We know after 2 years.
I don't think the NFL Players Association would love to have members of their union being told you're not playing at all. Would players then stay in college longer because they'd get actually paid to play football rather than paid, I would imagine, a lesser salary to sit and watch?
I don't know why you're thinking about this from the money perspective.
Because I'm thinking about it from the realism perspective.
I'm thinking about it from development. We have a quarterback development problem
in
the NFL.
I agree with you there.
I think this is a step to kind of fix that.
Well, what do you do?
What do you mean, what do you do?
How do they spend their year not playing?
Getting ready, practice, reps, learning from the veteran.
But you're
not actually creating jobs with this proposal.
How? You're taking a job and saying you can't use it.
No, because now the teams have to roster another veteran to help teach this kid how to play.
I hear you. They could still do that while having the option of inserting them. So Drake May last year, you'd think he would have just been that guy without all the time that he got.
All the time getting his ass kicked?
Yeah, I know, but getting your ass kicked actually helps you learn. Failure is definitely one of the biggest learning tools, I think, of in life at all, period.
Patrick Mahomes got a cup of coffee in the last week of the season. The next year, he threw 50 touchdowns.
I know that.
I think quarterbacks will be fine and figure it out.
But I think just mandating
Drake May
it,
got his ever-loving ass kicked in year one, and then, if it wasn't for you, was MVP of the league last year.
If it wasn't for me. Okay. I voted for the guy who everyone else, as a majority, voted for.
One
and
vote
then
extra.
On top of it,
one
it
person
should have been either one extra vote or should have been a flat-footed tie in it, but somebody decided to make a stand for Justin Herbert. So there's that. Listen, this kid and anybody else who has first-year experience grows and matures faster. I appreciate what you're saying. To flat-out mandate it is a complete and total overreaction. And I'm going to ask you to move on by asking you this question. If you want to go back to the Stone Age, should we no longer allow water during practice? What else you want to bring back? Anything else?
I think you're really overstating my position. This is for their benefit.
I understand what you're saying, and I am always pounding the table for quarterback development in a league where there isn't any.
Countless coaches come on here and say
they're
you
out
can't
of options.
Judge these guys after their first couple of seasons. They need 3, 4, 5 years. This is going
to
help that.
But to mandate that they sit when you're not going to have the reps to give to the kid during practices, that you cannot also mimic the real life stuff. You've got to get them in there. That's always been the age old issue, or the age old toughening somebody up, tough love, throwing him in the deep end of the pool, so to speak. But there are technological ways that you can actually have the kids sit, be around, watch the quarterback prepare for a real game, and then also get some sort of reps, you know, virtual reality, AI, whatever the hell you're trying to do right now. And while you're also trying to figure out how you can get them up to speed during the offseason, those are the ways to get through. But you can't sit here and say that Jaden Daniels, his first year, his dynamic first year, let's throw that out. Caleb Williams last year, yes, we could see what happened with Ben Johnson, but he had the whole first year of experience to as a base from
also,
which to
also
grow.
Got his ass kicked.
I understand. Let's move on. What else you got?
I want salt tablets and I want to drink out of a hose.
That's
again,
what
Rich.
I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's keep talking about these rookie quarterbacks. We know Fernando Mendoza is going number one, probably
correct.
Not going to start
yes.
in week one. Ty Simpson, though, is, and he's going to start more games this year than Fernando Mendoza.
Interesting. I don't think this is an overreaction right now. That's a good one, man. I can't wait to see where Ty Simpson winds up.
Yeah.
You're seeing every year, there's always a quarterback in the draft that coming out of college, leaving the school, going into the draft, entering the draft, hitting the combine. Every year, there's always one where it's like, yeah, I don't see it as the collective evaluation. Mm-hmm. There are some who say, oh, I see it, but they're in the minority. And then time passes. Then we see the kid throw at the combine. Then we hear other stories a little bit louder about why he struggled in college, why it's not on film, and how those issues about why it's not on film were beyond his control, mm-hmm. whether it was the coaching staff or his health.
Right.
All right. Then we hear that. Then we see the kid at the pro day. Then we hear more and more about how he's impressing in the visits, how he's impressed weeks prior at the combine beyond the cameras. And you hear it and you hear it and you hear it. And then the kid pops in the draft in the first round or the top or middle of the second and gets a massive amount of playing time in his first year by the end of the day. Jackson Dart and Chuck last year were those two guys, okay?
No doubt.
Giants popped up in the first round to take him. The Saints draft Chuck, even though he's in his mid-20s, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to throw him out there at some point. They eventually do. Both of them flash. Here we go. I kind of feel like Ty Simpson's that guy this year. And everybody was looking to be that guy out of the group of him and Nussmeier and Carson Beck, just to name two more.
Yep.
Right now, it's Ty Simpson. And, you know, on Monday's show, the flagship show, the Ringer draft expert, that comes on always, Todd McShay, talking about how Simpson could be the next Brock Purdy, but with a bigger arm. And you hear Dan Orlovsky talking about he's better than Mendoza in many aspects and is the top quarterback with the biggest upside in the draft. Again, McShay's talking about he's the best player in the draft pre- and post-snap neck-up ability, which is kind of crazy because I kind of think Mendoza's that guy.
Yeah, me too.
But Mendoza's 6'5", Heisman Trophy winner, self-made guy, has a whole host of experience from Cal to Indiana. And Simpson has a college resume in terms of experience that mimics Mitch Trubisky. So
yeah, he's only played the 1 year.
Put it all together, I still think this is not an overreaction by the end of the day. Now that I also see Kirk Cousins has been signed in Vegas.
Sure.
And just to give a quick synopsis on that, unless you have another.
I have one about Kirk next.
Okay, so I'll save my thoughts on that for your next.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started. Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. shopify.com/network.
Overreaction subject matter, but for the moment, I'm buying this one.
All right, let's talk about Kirko going to the Raiders, presumably to start week one, and I think he's going to succeed. Kirk's going to throw for more touchdowns this season than both Falcons quarterbacks, Tua, Michael Penix, combined.
Oh, I'll push back on that, just in the fact that I do believe Cousins is going to succeed in Vegas, and I think when he's out there, he's going to play well. I do believe that. But Kevin Stefanski with Tua and or Penix, I think they're going to really crush it. I think that offense is going to look really strong, coming out of the box really strong too. So I dig it, what they're building in Atlanta on the offensive side of the football. And by the end of the day, I don't think they're going to struggle enough to the point where two that play, if they do, would have less than one in Vegas, certainly when there's a number one overall pick that's sitting on the bench potentially pushing.
You don't think that's just going to be the Bijan show in Atlanta?
Well, I think he's going to catch some touchdowns too.
Okay.
I think he's going to get a screen pass around his own 40-yard line and go 60 yards. House.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think Tua is going to find London and Pitts, and I think that they're going to add some more pieces, draft if not otherwise, or already have, that are going to flash. Listen, what Cousins' addition to Vegas means is it gives them more room for time and patience with Fernando Mendoza, should he require it. I don't know. He can show up, and we could be hearing conversations out of OTAs and training camp that, wow, this kid is, in fact, the real deal, worthy of the first overall selection, and is a kid that's ready. He's ready. but we're not going to do it because we need to see how the line looks or the run game looks or whatever. And we're going to be patient because we do have Kirk Cousins and let's use him. Let's be patient, pump the brakes. Or it's just going to be like, hey, Kirk, you see it. You see it. And we see it. And we're paying you the money you asked. And yeah, we gave you the contract.
Keep the seat warm for a month
right,
or so.
We gave you the contract that you were looking for. And we appreciate what you're doing, but we've got to go with the kid. Mm-hmm. Even though we always know to go from the kid back to the veteran, it's tough to go back to the kid if he's struggled. There are a few exceptions to that, the most recent one being Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. But altogether, what Kirk Cousins does with his presence is, yes, help out with Fernando Mendoza, and the two of them, as we mentioned on last week's show, sound alike, they act alike, they can be alike.
Right.
They're definitely going to be aligned. There's not going to be gear grinding like, oh, this guy's driving me crazy. I think they're not going to be the odd couple. They're going to be two peas in a pod. So there's help there. But it allows the Raiders to be patient, should it be required, with Fernando Mendoza, certainly with a new head coach and having that latitude that a new head coach gets with a new regime. That said, I still think the Falcons are going to be better two than one. Certainly if Cousins eventually, maybe quarter of the season, halfway through, he's hurt, Mendoza gets in, that they might stick with the kid after that.
Gotcha.
What else you got?
Sounds good. All right, this one is spicy too, Rich. Last week, the big bombshell story about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and what's going on there. And
right.
Maybe, you know, growing a little tired maybe of their Super Bowl MVP. What do you think about this? If the Eagles miss the playoffs this season, they're going to have a new starting quarterback in 2027.
I just don't know the contract off the top of my head.
This
is
the last year of guaranteed money for Jalen Hurts.
Well,
2026.
Well, then I'll tell you, if that is in fact the case, that all his guaranteed money is gone after this year, you're going to be hearing some noise potentially from his representation that might not jibe with his quiet demeanor. And keeping things out of the griddle or pouring gasoline on a fire. You'll hear something. You'll hear something. And if they miss the playoffs, that would be stunning. Don't you think, though, at the end of the day?
I don't know about that. You know,
why?
They kind of struggled at the end of last year, one and done in the playoffs.
But they still have enough terrific players.
Dallas looks
fantastic.
Dallas had a really good season, offseason. They're coming into it looking pretty good. Jane Daniels, assumingly back healthy. Washington is going to be, they're in a spot to maybe take Jeremiah Love in the draft.
If they're lucky.
They're going to be back.
You know, I see a scenario under which the Eagles would have a fight on their hands.
And
for
let's
the
not
title
discount the Giants,
the division title. Brother, they're still really, really good with some terrific players.
Are they going to have A.J. Brown this year?
I don't know. I don't know why they would trade him unless it's so untenable behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Why would they trade him? I don't get that. I think if they trade them, I think if they trade him, this is more likely that the Eagles would miss the playoffs. Really? I mean, does everyone want to go back to the days of pre-Brown and pre-Smith when we're talking about them not drafting Justin Jefferson?
Right.
You know, that conversation, we haven't heard about the Eagles passing on Justin Jefferson for a couple of years, for good reason, because of everything that's going on offensively. But, you know, all the conversation about how 1-11 don't get along and they don't kind of like each other anymore. But, hey, at the same time, they're the reasons why the Eagles went rogue at the end of the Packers game, causing, Nick Sirianni to be caught by a camera on the sideline screaming, why? And it's just like, well, the two of them decided to go up top. So they don't like each other, but they go rogue together. You know what I mean? Like, there are some things.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think there is a Hurts issue there, whether it's self-inflicted by him or people just don't like his demeanor and be chatty Cathy's. Off record, on background. And this is all normally would be something that tears a team down. But in Philadelphia, it seems to fuel them. You know, like it's that noisemaker that helps you fall asleep.
Right.
But this is the one that noisemaker that keeps them afloat. Green it's kind of weird.
If they're 2-4, though, 3-6, I mean, you're going to talk about Sirianni hot seat. Is Hurts the problem? Should they go to the backup?
I got you. They're really good, though. They're really, really good.
The division is elevated, though, this year. Guys getting back healthy. Now seemingly. Full year of Dart. We now have Harbaugh on the division.
I totally buy that.
Yeah.
I need to see it, too. Need to see it.
Need to see it from Washington and
of course.
In New York.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Of course. And Dallas, I might add. But I feel that they are getting better. They've got their pieces on defense.
I think they've had one of the best off seasons in the league.
I like what they've done with Rashawn Gary, and then they add him to Clark and Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
They're gonna draft 12 and 20. They're gonna draft two defenders. Like, I'd be stunned if anybody comes from 12 and 20 on the offensive side, unless they trade up to third overall and get themselves some big ass piece
like Jeremiah Love.
No, it would be another edge rusher to put on the other side of Rashawn Gary and have them a 5-year
yeah
contract.
That'd be fun.
That would be the idea.
That'd be really fun
for their big splash.
I like
not
that.
Offensive player, it would
I
be
like
for
that.
An edge rusher if the Cowboys do that. Rich Eisen here. The April 15th tax deadline is coming fast, but don't worry. Hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today. You know how April feels. Everything speeds up. Games matter more. Hoops and hockey schedules tighten. Your phone won't stop buzzing. And somewhere in the middle of it all, there's that quiet little reminder. Taxes. You'll get to it tonight or tomorrow or after the weekend. And if you handle it the old way, you're refreshing your inbox like it's breaking news. Waiting, wondering, hoping everything's squared away. That's a lot of mental bandwidth. With Intuit TurboTax Expert Full Service, you can match with a dedicated expert who understands your specific tax situation and handles your taxes for you, start to finish. You can do it all online or meet in person at one of their new tech-enabled store locations. Have your tax forms imported directly into the app and hand everything off to your TurboTax expert. While they work to get you every dollar you deserve, you can go about your normal routine, giving you time back to focus on what actually deserves your attention, like rooting for your team to make the playoffs. April 15th is not waiting, people. Visit TurboTax.com and hand off your taxes to a TurboTax expert today.
If you've ever wanted real energy without choking down something that tastes like regret, Bucked Up is the answer. The flavor is the thing people keep coming back for. Insanely delicious, which is not a phrase usually associated with energy drinks, and they're built on real, science-backed ingredients. Clean energy that actually works without the garbage you don't want. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
Rich, let's talk about your favorite team in the NFL, Kansas City Chiefs.
Now you sound like
diehard
Cooper.
Diehard Chiefs Kingdom, Rich. Despite they had the biggest splash offensively in free agency, Kenneth Walker, Super Bowl MVP, goes there. That's great. Love that for them. And Patrick Mahomes, who seemingly is going to be ready to start week one. Despite signing him, though, the Chiefs are going to take an offensive weapon at 9th overall.
I don't think that's an overreaction. I don't think that's an overreaction.
I think
a lot
of people just have them pegged for defensive after trading away Trent McDuffie.
The mocks are all over the place. Mansoor Delane, the corner, the top corner available, that might be their choice too, because, you know, they trade away Trent McDuffie and they can pop him in there and basically say, hey, go kill it, kid, and it's time to pay you, and then we'll send you somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like we did McDuffie, like we did Snead,
though, so
like we do,
good.
You know, all the time.
Right.
I could see them doing that. I could see them adding an edge rusher. They can go anywhere.
More and more I think about Carnell Tate, and if he drops to 9.
He's not going to be there. He's not going to
be there. At 9?
No,
oh,
he's
man.
He's not going to be there. If Carnell Tate's there, I mean, you can put him in red. Yeah. You know, and the other piece of news is that Rashee Rice has been cleared of his latest issues off the field for the NFL.
Right.
So, you know, he's not going to be starting on the suspended list, at least not for that, to start the season. So I do like them adding Kenneth Walker. Again, Kareem Hunt, I believe in 2017 or 2018, or I should figure that out, was the last 1,000-yard rusher, his rookie season.
Yeah.
So if this kid is going to be bringing his MVP, Super Bowl MVP game to Kansas City. I like it a lot. Certainly if Mahomes is going to need to lean on something for the first half of a season to get fully up to speed with his surgically repaired knee. But so I guess it's an overreaction in the fact that they're going to have so many options. They're going to have options at edge rusher. They're going to have options at corner. They're going to have an option potentially for a big wide receiver. If Tate drops, there will still be, if Tate doesn't drop, every other receiver not named Tate in the draft, if they want to do it. We'll see if somehow, someway, Maui and Noah would drop all the way down to nine. They might be tempted to go and pop a new offensive lineman into their mix if somehow, someway they get that value. So they're really in a good spot. They earned it, unfortunately, for them last year. But they're in a good spot to go in any way they want.
It's rare a good team, though, still in the middle of kind of a dynastic run, gets a chance to draft in the top 10.
Yeah, I know. It sounds something like New England would have that opportunity.
Interesting.
never heard that before. That's odd.
All right, two more, Rich, and then we'll get on with our first week of April here. Thinking about the draft, I want you to do a little math here. I know I told you there would be no math, but it's really easy. There will be more first-round trades than quarterbacks and running backs selected combined.
In the first round?
On day one, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not an overreaction at all.
Really?
Oh, man. Yeah, quarterbacks and running backs selected on day one, the highest you're going to get is three.
Maybe four.
So at both Notre Dame kids and Ty Simpson and...
Exactly.
Well, there'll still be potentially more trades.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
I think every year during the draft, we anticipate there's going to be a lot of movement, and it just kind of falls flat.
I think this year there's going to be such a dearth of, I guess, offensive linemen, and let me peg another one. I mean, there's edge rushers. I just think that there's going to, in terms of premium, in terms of like premium, and then now you've got high upside type of guys that it might force a hand or two. Let's just say there's three trades or four trades maybe. I just think it's going to be one quarterback and one running back, brother.
Mm.
At the end of the day, and there'll be more trades. I think at the end of the day, Simpson will be waiting for the top of round two.
Okay.
And so will Jadarian Price of the Fighting Irish. And those will be really good guys. I mean, I'll be honest.
I know
Ty Simpson's rooting for it to be a first rounder. Clearly, that's a dream.
Yeah,
and plus, you get that fifth year of option. And you've got also, if he's at the back end of the first round, the opportunity to join a better team.
Yeah.
I understand all of that. But as the host of the draft, I wouldn't mind Ty Simpson sitting there with the Jets and the Cardinals starting night two as a, hey, tune in and watch
Cleveland
that.
Maybe.
You know, like that. Those two are right there. Mm-hmm. Would they take Simpson or would they not? But that's just purely,
I hear you.
I'm the host of a television product that I want you to watch.
Right, of course.
Which is a very self-centered way of putting Ty Simpson's feelings and future aside. But I think at the end of the day, it'll be, despite how Simpson is gaining some momentum in the mock drafts and in the world of evaluators, I think it'll be Mendoza one and then none. And then Love, top five.
Yeah.
And then none.
And dang.
And then more trades.
And then some more movement.
Okay. That's where I'll go.
Yeah, I just so get I so excited about the prospect of trades, and then it's just kind of like, that's all we got.
Well, I mean, because it's expensive to move around in the first round and certainly move back in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody's putting their capital in next year's draft for the quarterback. Why would they spend any of that capital to come back in here for a non-quarterback, unless you really love Ty Simpson more than anybody else that's coming out next year. So what else you got?
Last one. And it's your favorite topic, and it's my favorite topic.
Oh boy.
Pressure, Rich Eisen.
Oh, God.
Not just a song by Queen and David Bowie.
Oh, my God.
Here's the deal. The Ravens posted a video. You know, some team.
Lamar coming to work.
A handful of teams have workouts starting this week.
It's
new
head coaches.
And, you know, they show Lamar coming into the building. And I'm like, okay. Rich, no quarterback is under more pressure this coming year than the two-time MVP,
that is so silly.
Lamar
What's the
Jackson.
Pressure? What's the pressure, Chris?
What's the pressure? Here's the pressure. You ready, Rich?
Lay it on me, because I'm sure it'll be something that will definitely start to get him rattled. If it's going to be us talking about him or other shows like this talking about him.
They're going to be. Other shows are going to be talking
be
about
all
this.
These topic bars at there the bottom of the screen.
Get ready.
Lamar. Is Lamar two-time MVP, should have been three-time MVP, Lamar Jackson no longer the same guy because he got hurt and last year was terrible and this year's not as good and now he's no longer as good and Allen is still just as good.
Making my argument
for me. And Burrow's just as good.
Drake May is
in the
conversation.
No, I know it's Drake May is now, and look, Jaden Daniels has come back. He's not even the best quarterback in the Mid-Atlantic anymore.
I don't even have to say anything.
Oh, my God, Matthew Stafford is coming back. He's pushing 40. Look how he looks. Oh, my gosh, look at how Goff is now playing under his new offense, and Drew Petzing, and then Lamar is just Mahomes has come back looking strong with Mahomes, and Bo Nix with his broken ankle, he's looking terrific, and the Broncos and the whoever's, look at Herbert, oh my God, he's so tall and
got
handsome
MVP
and Madison
vote.
Beery and you know Ooh, oh yeah. my gosh all this stuff, and Lamar's just sitting there, who's the coolest customer in the history of coolest customers, and living in his own world in the way that he's got a, he's like on Planet Lamar, obviously going, wait a minute. Is Brockman talking about me on Overreaction Money like this?
Rich,
wait, what did Stephen A. say about me on First
Are you
Take?
A dude
oh
or
my
not?
God. All those dudes waking up with Barstool
or
talking
not?
Bad about me. Oh my God. I'm under such pressure.
Who are you? Who
Get
are
out
you?
Of here.
Who are you? Are you Steph Curry or are you James Harden? Who are you?
Well, both are very, very rich and going to the Hall of Fame. So what? That's
yeah,
pressure?
But guess what? We think about one guy much differently than we think
that's
about
true.
The other guy.
But it's what you
here's,
think.
Here's the thing.
The we think.
Here's the thing that no one's talking about.
Cares about.
Here's the thing. Do we know that? Who's? This is the thing where nobody's talking about. He got his coach fired last year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh gosh, you say he got his coach fired.
He got his coach fired last year. Okay. His ability to not perform in the playoffs throughout his career got John Harbaugh fired. And now we think about Harbaugh's legacy a little bit different.
He hit Zay Flowers with a perfect pass against the Kansas City Chiefs, and Flowers turns upfield and fumbles it. Is that Lamar's fault?
We don't know that they're not going to lose that game.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Let me tell you about pressure again.
Are you the two-time MVP best player in the league, or are you just a guy that we're going to, like, 20 years from now, going to be like, oh, yeah, Lamar won a couple of MVPs. Interesting.
Now you're turning this into weird. What's more likely. That is less likely than the alternative. And I think you deep down know it. Let me just say this. The pressure, once again, is always on somebody who may not have a job anymore, let alone maybe not in the league anymore.
Why isn't this
That's
guy signed a new contract?
Pressure. I don't know, because if he doesn't want to sign, maybe he needs to see what's going on in Baltimore. Maybe that's what he wants to do. Maybe that's what he wants to do, because I'll tell you what, if Malik Willis doesn't work out in Miami, do you know who's going down to Miami? You know who Miami would definitely take if Malik Willis isn't the guy? They're hoping Malik Willis is the next version of Lamar Jackson. That's what they're hoping down there in Miami right now, for their $20 million bucks and hoping to get him all sorts of weaponry around him through the draft. Listen, the pressure, again, is somebody who may not have a gig by the end of the day. Kirk Cousins in Vegas, that's pressure. Although for him, he knows he's got 15 more years of being a guaranteed paid quarterback. Rodgers comes back, that's your guy. Although he doesn't feel pressure, he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Pressure is you may not play anymore. Father Time is tapping you on the shoulder.
Pressure is
this
not
is
living up to your expectations.
Chance.
Not but, living up to your expectations.
But your expectations are within yourself, not what we say on television or radio or TV and the radio. That's it.
YouTube,
I mean, I don't think Lamar might, you know, hear from his friends, this is what they're saying, or he may look down at his phone and get pissed. Then he shrugs it off and he goes and does Lamar things. I don't think he's going to suddenly, you know, fall flat and he's going to be the reason why the Ravens suddenly aren't dynamic. I think the defense was the issue there more than anything else the last couple of years. where they're not consistent enough from weeks 1 to week 18 or beyond. And the new head coach is going to fix that. New head coach is going to fix that. I think you can be assured of if any of his track record continues. So I push back on this. As you know, when you created this topic, Barr, would be my reaction, but that's why you mentioned it, and I greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That's it for Overreaction Monday, everybody. We're off and running here. Buddy. We got a great week of some great guests coming up over the next 2 weeks on our flagship show. The Roastmaster General Jeffrey Ross on the Monday flagship show. No Contest Wrestling is going to be white hot to the touch for WrestleMania. Build up. They're going to WrestleMania. Yeah, O'Shea Jackson Jr. and also our friend TJ Jefferson. So for Chris, I'm Rich. That's it for Overreaction Monday. Peace out, everybody.
From 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Did you say someone got shot?
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami. Gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.